Welcome to Heart, Navigating Lipedema Together, where our lived experiences merge with expert wisdom. I'm Lisa Dury, career executive, mom, and stage 3 lipedema patient.
And I'm Dr. Catherine Sayo, dedicated to advocacy, research, and education for a vibrant life, while also living with lipedema and lymphedema. Together, we're delving into the complexities of navigating a life with lipedema.
Join us as we embark on a heartfelt journey, unraveling the challenges of weight stigma, anti-fat bias, and the triumphs towards self-compassion at work and in life.
Your voices are welcome here. You are essential in our heart-to-heart conversation. Together, as both guides and fellow travelers, let's explore, learn, and grow. Welcome to Heart, Navigating Lipedema Together.
Welcome, welcome, everyone, wherever you are, whatever social media platform you're on, we're happy you're here with us today. I'm Lisa Dury, and I'm here with Dr. Catherine Sayo, and you are here with us for Between Us, Navigating Lipedema Together. This is a special podcast stream that we are doing for 6 weeks to open up the conversation and to dive into what it's like to live and work with lipedema. Catherine, I'm so glad you're here.
Hi, Lisa.
Hey, so hey.
Good way to start the week.
Right? I mean, for all the lipedema ladies out there who are working in their jobs or working as caregivers or running their households, right? Monday morning, people are dreading. And we thought we wanted to be a bright, shiny light as you're getting ready and getting out the door, getting ready for lunch or ending your day if you happen to be on the other side of the world. Yeah. Catherine, I would love to spend our time today really diving into, I was preparing for the free webinar we're doing this week about, you know, mastering balance in your career and lipedema. And I wrote on one of my slides, you know, unknowingly living with lipedema. And I realized there were so many years in my career, I didn't know I had lipedema, and yet I had all the symptoms. And they were weighing on me professionally and my self-confidence in, you know, how might I navigate all the travel and all the presentations and speaking and being on my feet. And I thought, you know, with everything going on, why don't we take the journey together today of your experience and my experience, and then let's bring in the audience. So if wherever you are, if you could drop in the chat that you're here, let us know a question you have about working and living with lipedema. And then as we tell our stories, if you want to share your perspectives, ask questions, that's why we're here, right? Catherine, we want this to be interactive. That's why we're live streaming rather than just recording in a studio. We want to bring the audience in. Yeah.
I just want to say good morning to our Miranda Watch group. We have a exercise group that come and watch this as a group. And Marilee and Leslie and Victoria and Liz, thank you. Thank you all for being here. You know, I was thinking about this as we've been preparing for the free webinar. And it's so interesting since most of those of us with lipedema, we don't have the answer. It's not you get the answer, you know. So I hear the stories again and again and again and again and again and again. You know, I went to my doctor. I know something's wrong. Something's not right. And they get told, as you know, because it happened to you, that, you know, well, just eat less and move more and you should be okay. You know, and when it doesn't happen, what, because of our culture, because of the anti-fat bias and the stigma attached to weight, there's the misnomer that weight is caused by lifestyle choices. We now know that's not true, but even knowing that's not true scientifically doesn't change it because it's so ingrained in all of us. And so what ends up happening is most of us internalize it and internalizing it in such a way that, you know, we end up blaming ourselves, have guilt, have shame, have an overarching feeling like it must be something I'm doing wrong. It must be me. And I know when we talk about this, you know, it's in your life, it's in your day-to-day living, but the way it impacts us in terms of us advocating for ourselves in the workplace is actually quite debilitating. You know, it's not uncommon to be turned, passed over for promotions, to be less perhaps valued than our thinner colleagues. It's an odd situation because it isn't always attributed to an individual based on size, not explicitly, but implicitly it is. And I'm sure, I know between the two of us, we have hundreds of stories about it.
Yeah, I'm really glad we're doing this. And I have to tell the listener and, you know, those of you here live, this topic makes me nervous. I've lived this my whole life and talking about it makes me nervous. Like, what are we about to step into? And yet I know that the stepping into this conversation and holding space for it, knowing we don't have all the answers, but yet we have shared experience, I believe it's going to help the world. But I wanted to say each of us, right? Because it starts with us and then we can become we, and then together we are us. And the thing that I think I want to start with a story if I could, and I'd like to get your perspective on it, Catherine, because before I knew I had lipedema, I traveled a lot for my corporate job. I was on airplanes a lot. I was in different time zones a lot. I globally traveled because I used to run our sales kickoff events and our field training for the engineering teams. I also was in charge of running our customer events, right? So they were all over the world. And there was a time when we were doing an event in Hawaii and I flew to Hawaii from the West Coast. So it was like, a 6-hour flight. We got to Hawaii and I just didn't feel right. I didn't feel right. I was swollen. I was tired. And, you know, I'm usually running on adrenaline. I love running events. I love being with people. And my legs were just so swollen. I thought there's something wrong, but I didn't do anything. I ran the event. It was like 3-4 day event. And then after that, I decided, okay, I should go to the emergency room. Right? It'll just get better. You know, and I would wear compression knee highs on the plane. I figured that out. But I went to the emergency room and they said, I can't find anything wrong with you. You're just swollen. And it made me really question, like, am I a hypochondriac? Is this real? Am I really even swollen? My whole team was worried about me. I'm at the hospital, right, in another state. And I remember that so distinctly because had I just wished that that team understood what lipedema was and could have told me, oh, right, or what lymphedema was and at least said, maybe you have lymphedema. Like, they were just like, you're fine. And I have many, many more stories, but I want to start there because I look back at that moment and I so remember how scared I was, how I didn't take care of myself. I just did my job because I didn't want to be seen as weak or needing help or put the event at risk because I was at the hospital. And yet, like, I look back at that now and I just want to hug that person I was and let her know there is something wrong and don't ignore this. You know, so what is your take on that? Or what would you like to comment on when you hear that story?
Well, I'm sending you a big hug right now.
Yeah, I feel like crying. It's like real, you know?
And that's so much of how we live our lives. It's like there's a funny kind of culture around taking up space. Mm. It's like, you know, which is a conundrum because as women who are overweight, we are in larger bodies, so we take up more space. But internally, there's this trying to take up less space because of what you said. I mean, you said, I don't want to put anyone, I don't want to inconvenience anyone.
Right. The inconvenience of me swelling from an air flight, right? What is that, right? Yeah.
And you bring up something I think that's so important, given that I've had a year and a half of pretty intense illness out of an airplane flight. It's something we all need to be aware of. And so many of us, I mean, I flew all around the world for years without any problems. And then, you know, ended up in the emergency room, hospitalized, and ended up with surgeries because of airplane flights. So that's only one. That's only one instance of what we need to be aware of in workplace environments. When I was working with Dr. Smith and Dr. Diane in New York, they did a lymph node transfer. They were the beginning of that here in the US. And one of the reasons is they were working with someone who had breast cancer, who survived the breast cancer and ended up with lymphedema. And she was a CEO, much like you and I are both. So she was traveling and she was having the same kind of issues where she was having horrific backlash from the... So what happens on a plane, we now know, it's the bariatric pressure. It's the pressure, the cabin is pressurized. It's how we can fly. But it affects everyone, whether you have a lymphatic disorder or not. People get affected by it. The difference is normal lymphatic systems can resolve it within a few hours. Mm-hmm. Those of us with lymphatic disorders, not. So anyway, they did a lymph node transfer on this woman and she was able to travel. But it's much more complicated, you know. Yeah, I think it's much more complicated.
Yeah, and I think the reason I wanted to bring this one up first is because we both have had the flying thing go on, right? And I know that people who have careers that need to travel, it's important to talk about. And I think the thing that was really inspiring to me, knowing I have lipedema, being as advanced as I am now, I was way different back then. That was before I even had a baby. Like I was a whole different body back then. But now, you know, I'm going to Potsdam for Lipedema Project, Lipedema Simplified, and I'm scared. I'm going to fly. And major anxiety. And thinking, what's going to happen to my body? Now I'm going from the West Coast to Germany. And because of Lipedema Simplified and all the work that we do together, I knew what to do. I knew get manual lymphatic drainage before I go, right? I knew find a place that had a pool, stay at a place that had a pool. I knew, you know, drain myself while I'm there, get in that pool, look at the nutrition, make sure I'm not eating inflammatory foods for myself, make sure I'm sleeping and hydrating. And I learned so much. And honestly, that would benefit anyone, whether you got lipedema, lymphedema or not. These are all good things for your body, right? And I think to myself, wow, what would it have been like when I was working earlier in my career if I had done all this for myself, known to do it? How much more productive, how much more confident? I mean, going into a pool with the body that I have now, that was like, I don't even care what people see. I just want to feel better. My shift was different than earlier in my career where I worried. And I think that leads me to another story. So I'm just going to go with stories for a minute and let's just see if people have comments or insights for sure. So knowing that, right, back in the day, I also used to have to go to team meetings all the time, you know, all hands and get-togethers. And there was a time where my boss asked me to go to this team meeting, and it was in South Carolina, and I was on the West Coast, and the whole thing was going to be outdoors at the water. Now, I didn't know I had lipedema. I was not a mom at the time either, so I hadn't had the flare that came with, you know, infertility treatment and pregnancy, but I still had lipedema. And my legs were larger than most, right? And all I thought about for weeks, I told him I didn't want to go. And I tried to come up with reasons not to go on this trip because I didn't want to be in a bathing suit or shorts or a tank top. I didn't want to be seen by all these, you know, I'm in tech. It's a bunch of guys and a few women. And the other women on the team were clearly not lipedema bodies. And I was just really insecure. I'm very anxious, and it took up weeks of my time on how can I get out of here? What if I say I'm sick? How do I not go to this meeting? And he basically said, you go or you don't have a job. Like he was very emphatic that I needed to be there. So the first day we were going to be there, the whole day was going to be on the shore at the water. And so here's what I did, Catherine. Instead of like networking and hanging out with everybody and, you know, like you do with these things, right? I literally packed my clothes, made sure that I didn't eat or drink, and I made my way into the ocean and I stayed in the ocean all day. It was at least 6 hours for that meeting. I never left the ocean. I didn't come in for a meal. I didn't drink. I was just like, I don't want anyone to see my body, but I'm in the water, right? And then I waited for most people to leave. I mean, there were other colleagues in the water too, but not the whole time, right? I was so exhausted when that was done, but I went, right? And I think to myself now, what I know is I could wear my compression. I might wear a maxi dress. Maybe I don't go in the water. And I just, you know, talk about how, you know, I get, maybe the climate over here is hard on my body. I don't know. You don't have to say it, lipedema, but what I missed out on and what I was forced into, I will never forget that. And I think there's other people living in those moments right now, whether you know you have it or you don't, whether you listen, if you're not comfortable in your body and you're supposed to go hang out at the water all day, I don't care if you have a disease or not. That is very taxing on someone. So what are your thoughts on that experience?
Well, you know, it's not only taxing, but it points to the level of shame that we are trained to have. I wonder if left to our own devices, if we would develop it or not. But there's such stigma attached to weight. So let me step back, because the literature says, the scientific and research literature says that there's a misbelief that overweight is controllable, that we have controllability is the term that they use, which means that if you do X, Y, or Z, then it will not be the way that it is. So just think, each one of us, how many efforts we have each made to lose and maintain weight loss, and how unsuccessful most of us have been. Now, most of us have been that way, definitely a contribution of lipedema, definitely lymphedema, and most probably some kind of disordered eating because of all that we deal with. So even being at conferences, and I mean, conferences are not set up to eat well. At work conferences, I've been to, you know, I've led and facilitated, and, you know, it's usually carbohydrates everywhere. You know, that's what they do. So, and I'm left to really question, what would it take? Now, what happened is when I, you know, when I started my low carbohydrate eating plan many, many, many years ago, I just brought my own food. I just, you know, I would just do whatever I needed to do, but you have to know to do it. And be way before I knew that I had lipedema, I knew, I didn't know, friends of mine told me. When I started a low carbohydrate food plan was in the mid 80s. Where we didn't know as much as we know now about the differences between carbohydrates, fats, and protein. I mean, of course, we knew the macros, but there wasn't as much knowledge of it. So, you know, going to, I could not imagine going to an event like that and actually being able to flow and contribute in the way that I could in other circumstances. Mm-hmm. So it really is. And Lisa, how did you do that? I mean, what was it that gave you, I mean, you're like, I always say you're a tsunami.
But really, you know, I was a tsunami in the ocean that day, I can tell you.
Yeah, really.
Mm-hmm. So the question is, how did I do it?
Yeah, like what was your thinking in terms of it. I mean, I know how dedicated you are to whatever it is you do,
mm-hmm.
but that was really tough.
It was really tough. It was very isolating. You know, they say we isolate a lot when we realize we have this. It's like, oh, I've been isolating, right? I've been hiding from the world or hiding my body or not contributing or not participating, right? It was exhausting. And I just remember thinking to myself, this is my life? Like, what? I'm hiding in the ocean? Talk about disordered eating patterns. Like, you know, I've done every diet on the planet, every food plan there is. I've gained and lost the weight. I've been medically supervised. And even then, when all the weight came off, Catherine, that extra weight, right? Because there was definitely lots of carbs in my life back then. Mm-hmm. And there still are some days in my life now, but I show pictures and I will show them in the webinar. Maybe we drop the webinar when we talk about this, but I'm going to show a picture of me when at my thinnest and you can see my legs. They're clearly lipedema legs. And even then people were saying, why are your legs so big? And I was like, I don't know, but they work because I had lost so much weight. I was like, I'm going to own these legs. I don't care what they look like anymore. They work. And here we are. And I think to myself now, you know, understanding what I do now about what the progressional moments, the times that, you know, the hormonal moments that happen in a lipedema journey, many times for the women, it's puberty, pregnancy, perimenopause, menopause, and gynecological surgery. And man, as I grew my career and I got older, what really hit me, I believe, was pregnancy and the menopause train. Like, so back then, how I did it, Catherine, is I didn't know any better. I loved my job. I mean, I was in that company for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And when my boss says, you need to be here, you're important to this event, you know, you have no reason not to, like, you have to be here. I just did what I was told, you know?
So, Lisa, I want to put this up because I want to be sure that people come and hear a much fuller story. This is our, you know, what is this? Is this a mini podcast?
This is our live stream podcast. That's right.
A mini podcast, but with the webinar, we'll have more time to go into more depth. So come and where's the link? I know there's a link. Let me see. I'm looking for the link. Here it is. Thank you. Thank you, Gail. Gail's in the background, everyone.
Everybody say, hey, Gail.
Hey, Gail.
So this is a perfect example of what we can do with this, right? So Catherine and I were doing this on our own. And one of the things about advocating in the workplace is asking for help when you need help. And I reached out to Gail and I was like, can you help produce this so Catherine and I can be fully present? Because I'm emotional. Like, this is uncharted territory, right? So one of the things that we're going to talk about in the webinar, ways you can advocate and get support in a way that's helpful. So I said in an aspirational way, Gail, I really want this live stream to be at its best and we need some help. Would you be willing? And she's like, absolutely. Right? It wasn't just like, I'm emotional. No, I was like, I want this to be its best. And we need help. Will you help us? And she said, yes. So Gail, thank you for modeling that and showing us how that goes. So Catherine, here's my question for you as we, you know, transition. Those are a couple of stories I had. Do you have a story to share that might shine some light on your own journey? I mean, I know you worked in corporate. I mean, you did this documentary. You're a professor, a coach, a leader, a CEO, and so many more areas. When you think about women, navigating, living with lipedema, and really wanting to have a career and working too. What's a story you can bring to share with the audience?
I think the one that stays most, it's interesting because it was got to be almost 40 years ago, long time ago. I am a techie and I love tech and I happen to be really good at it. And back then it was rare. So this is 24. Oh, yeah. Back then, there were some women, but fewer. And I went on a job interview that I had been headhunted. They sought me out because I happened to be very good I was a COBOL programmer.
What? I didn't know that. You were a COBOL programmer?
I was a COBOL programmer.
Oh my, that is fascinating and not a surprise. Isn't your brain, the brain that you have and the way that you put data and information and concepts together, of course you were a COBOL programmer.
So for those of you who don't know, COBOL was one of the original coding languages that we worked with, mainframes and minis, and did very complex. Well, now you can do it in 5 minutes, but back then it's very complex data management. Anyway, so they headhunted me out, and I arrived at the interview, and I saw the interviewer react to my body size. Mm-hmm. It was like an instant, and within minutes, he ended the interview with no good explanation, but obviously because he had a reaction to my body size. And I can remember, I mean, I went back to the headhunter and it's like, what the hell? Mm-hmm. At that point, it's so hard to delineate personal value. And because I was one of the most sought out programmers around here in Cambridge. And I know that, but I didn't value it because of everything else that would happen. This is going back a very, very long time.
Well, I appreciate you sharing it, because the thing that what I'm realizing and pull through in our stories is mine were really a while ago too. And they stick and they shape and they kind of weave their way into the thoughts that we have and how we talk to ourselves and what we believe to be true. And, you know, okay, that's their problem, not yours. If, you know, that then that job wasn't meant for you, Catherine. But at that time, it's like, what? You're not even going to like finish this interview when I'm the highest sought out COBOL programmer in the area? And yet that really does happen, right? And I have been unlearning bias for a very long time in my own world. Once I became, you know, needing a mobility assistance at the airport, once I understood, you know, chronic illness fatigue, you know, I'm just unlearning a lot. And I think your story might help that next hiring manager. Mm-hmm. Think a little bit beyond their first reaction, regardless of whether it's weight or anything else that shows up in that room. Mm-hmm. The value isn't in your body size. The value is in your heart, your brain, your soul, your experience, right? Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate you sharing that.
I say again and again and again, because I find it so fascinating, as I've been working on this for years, and my research was around body image dissatisfaction and how to mitigate it, that it's so inculcated in our culture. Mm-hmm. Doreen says she had the same experience in an interview. And Lisa says, you are so right. I go places and I just see people eyeing me top to bottom and some with their mouths open. There was an experiment that someone did, which I always thought was so fascinating. She would just walk in the street and she had someone who was filming people looking at her. Like she, as the person, was not paying attention to it, but she would fit, but she had a colleague filming. She was larger bodied. She was not morbidly obese, but she was definitely larger bodied. And it was fascinating to watch the reactions. And it's so easy to want to say it's about them and they're being rude, or, you know, there's all of that. But we've all internalized it. I mean, we all feel the same way, looking in a mirror or having any kind of social interaction. That's why so many of us have less social interaction that we would than we would perhaps like. So it's just fascinating. Lisa, I think we've opened Pandora's box.
I think it's needed. I'm not laughing. I'm laughing with delight that mm-hmm. what I've been living with and holding in my head for so long, we can now bring our voices together. Yeah. I'll never forget when I did my first lipedema heart-to-heart event, you know, the virtual events, the three-day events that are run. Mm-hmm. We have to tell our story, Catherine, but I'm just going to go here. Here's a little sneak peek into us, okay? So the heart-to-heart three-day event, this one's all about nutrition. It's all about how to really create something that works for you, and nutrition as a mental health support, in your body support and beyond. But when I spoke at the first one, I showed pictures of my body and I talked about my journey of understanding I had lipedema. I was a newbie. It was a couple years ago. I was just like, this is a thing. Let's talk. And I have never felt more alive and more connected to the community because the chat was blowing up. Me too. You're not alone, Lisa. I got you. Yes. I mean, it was like sensory overload for me to like hold my arm up and say, you know, I have my sweater on, but one day I'll take it off. Right. Here's what my arms look like. Here's what my legs look like. This is what my experience was. And Catherine, I was like, something has awakened in me about sharing this. And listen, I work in corporate right now. I have a consulting firm and I used to hide like this and try and just see if I could do virtual presentations. And now I'm like, let's talk about inclusion and belonging. Let's talk about workplace biases. Let's open this up because this affects more than people with lipedema. This is rampant in every slice of the world. So it is Pandora's box. I'm all in, and I might need to wear waterproof mascara because I was already realizing we have some tears. But Gail, is there any voice, you're watching the chat with us, anything that we should bring up here to make sure other voices are with Catherine and I? What are some of the comments you want to bring forward? Let's just see. Okay, Lisa and Brendan, you're both so right. So yeah, I've avoided and not participated. What will people say? Will I fit? Yep. I love to dance too. And I always hid in the corner at the corporate event so I could still dance. And yeah, everyone with their phones worrying about that. Never living fully in your life. Mm. I really appreciate you saying that. And I appreciate your honesty about what you're going through. Lisa and Brian, is that, yeah, I just want to make sure you're seen and supported and you are not alone because I feel you. Yeah.
And Julie shares, over the last 55 years, I've listened to and gained probably the equivalent of 3 average size women, but able to lose less and less each time and gaining it back each time. Now maintaining her weight. It's not, I am maintaining, but not a weight I would choose. So truly, it is a journey. And that's wonderful to be maintaining. It's wonderful. It's like, it's the yo-yo that gets to us all the time.
Yeah. Julie, thank you for putting your comments in here. And Victoria, oh, talking about this requires courage. Talking about us requires courage. It's scary and needed. Yes. Thank you, Victoria. I can feel that this is right. Hey, and we're not going to get it right all the time. We don't have all the answers. And we certainly don't know everything, but we know a heck of a lot. And with what Catherine and the team have put together, bringing all of the global experts around the world for a decade now to inform and inspire and to help educate and learn from the community, I don't think there's any place better to be than with this group here right now. And we're at time. So what I'd like to do is just drop in here again. If you want to continue the conversation about careers, Catherine and I are going to be doing this on Wednesday. We have a full webinar dedicated to this. I'm going to be sharing what's worked, some lessons learned, some insights for navigating your job. And whether or not you're working, you're welcome, right? Because you're all working. You're working and living with lipedema, and you're working in managing your household in whatever way that is. So please join us. And Catherine, what would you like to say to close us out and feel complete today?
I think it's Tamara. Hold on a minute. Yeah, Tamara, she says, I'm going to put this up. And then Gail, put the other one back. Okay. Always mentally mapping out how much walking would be involved. She corrected that before I can say yes to an invitation. I want to say that that is so much how we live. And just to become aware of it, like not only mapping out distance, but mapping out chair sizes, mapping out how am I going to fit in? Are people going to be judgmental? It's all of the stuff that keeps us not only from working fully, but from living fully. I mean, there's so many gifts that each of us have. And how do we open to that? And I think, you know, Lisa, I think it's these conversations that give people permission to open to the awareness.
Yeah. I consider it such an honor to be with you right now. And Gloria, we're grateful you're here. You do belong. I know this feeling so well. Like I said, that first heart-to-heart event, I was like, here's my people, right? And I really, really appreciate, Catherine, all that you've done to bring the global experts together, to put your heart and soul into this, to build the team that you've built, and to invite me on this journey. Mm-hmm. I can't think of something that could have such a ripple effect than this conversation right now. This is the next frontier, right? Yes. So, yeah, thank you all for being here.
Gail, can you put one last time the link for the free webinar on Wednesday so people have that? It's learn.lipedema-simplify.org/free-webinar.
Yeah. And
you can sign up. We'll have a deep conversation together, and we'll probably have some laughter. And we'll probably have a few tears.
Yeah. Well, I hope you all can join us. And if you can't go, register anyway, and you'll get the replay. So do that for yourself. We're going to keep the conversation going. And Catherine and I will be back next Monday to further the conversation, because we know that one podcast live stream is not enough for this. This is a much bigger topic. So keep your chats going. Share this with someone that you think could benefit from it. Thank you for being with us live. Catherine, thank you for honoring me to, you know, tell stories and share our lived experience together. It's a pleasure and an honor, and I wish you all a great day. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Heart to Heart, Navigating Lipedema Together.
We hope you found our conversation insightful and empowering. Remember, you're not alone in your journey with lipedema. We're here to support you every step of the way.
And if you'd like to learn more about lipedema, the best place to start and receive expert insights rooted in research is at lipedema-simplified.org. Also, if this was helpful to you, please help us spread the word by liking, commenting, and sharing this episode. We're in this together.
Until next time, take care. And remember, together, we can navigate lipedema and its impact on all aspects of our lives with strength and resilience and lots of heart.